Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to another episode of Hacks and Hobbies. I'm your host, Junaid Ahmed, and today we're diving into the world of brand amplification, media strategy, and powerful storytelling with someone who has not only walked the walk, but has built a global platform doing it. Our guest today is Adam Torres, co-founder of Mission Matters, host of one of the top 2.5% podcast series worldwide, and a voice that's regularly featured on Forbes, Fox Business, and Yahoo Finance. Adam has helped amplify the stories of entrepreneurs, entertainers, and experts all across the globe. And today, we get to learn how he built it all. Adam, welcome to Hacks and Hobbies.
Come on, Junaid. I'm loving that intro music, man. You have me all fired up over here. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be on the show.
That's the idea, right? We want to bring up the fire so we can talk about the origin story. We can talk about where it all began. So let's start at the beginning. What inspired you to start Mission Matters, and how did your journey into branding and media take shape?
Well, Junaid, first thing I like to say, usually when I tell this story, is I did not start off intuitively understanding media, the power of story, books, podcasting. I didn't know about any of that. I was a finance guy. I grew up in the industry. I started at my first financial firm when I was 16, working at Raymond James and Associates, you know, put in a solid 14 years in that business, went to college, all that good stuff. And one day, one of my mentors, he says, Adam, you just started this new firm. You got to write a book. And I'm like, I don't want to write a book. Why am I going to write a book? And I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, Junaid. I'm not going to lie. I was like, bro, people write books. What do I care about a $5 product, right? I'm like, I did not understand the power of story. I didn't understand the power of communication. I didn't get any of that. So I begrudgingly took my mentor's advice and I created it and I wrote a book. And I can't even say I wrote it. I can say I spoke a book into my recorder. Had it transcribed, had it edited, and then, you know, magically a book popped out after I put it in the hands of some editors. And that was that. And from there on, it really just took on a life of its own. I didn't understand the concept of story. I didn't know you could help people by sharing your story. I didn't know what that meant. And from that book, it led to starting a publishing company. We published over 400 authors in our best-selling Mission Matters series. And then the podcast came. And from the podcast, that grew. I've done now to date over 6,000 interviews, hard to believe, in the last 9 years. And this year, I'll do, you know, between 1,500 and 2,000 interviews. So and I just started. I'll tell you this one, which you may not know, Junaid. I just started guesting and going on shows. I didn't even understand the power of that or what the point of that was, because I was recording so many interviews. But then it was explained to me, like, the concept of connecting with other hosts and other audiences, and my message in coming on your show and all the shows I come on, really, now that I've been guesting now for year one, this is my first year guesting, is I want other people to get out there and share their stories, because doing this business and sharing my story has completely changed my life. I had a good life before, I'm not going to lie. I did good in corporate. No, I'm not one of those corporate people that left corporate and said they couldn't stand it. No, I was a great employee. I always got promotions. I did well, but I didn't know how much I could help others. I didn't understand the power of story. And now, when people see me, and this is one of the reasons I guess, is because they're like, oh, you're polished. You know, I do this, you do that. I'm like, I was the world's worst podcaster. And I'm not just saying that. Just to give you an idea, I was so bad that when I launched my first show, I didn't even use my real name. Because I was so scared that people would, if you turned on, Junaid, if you turned on a camera, I would forget my name. So I did over 1,500 interviews before I even got in front of a camera. So I want other people out there that are listening to this, I want you to get in the game. Start your shows, write your books, start your Instagram account, write your blog, whatever you want to do. It's a privilege. Like, get out there and share your story.
Dude, you are absolutely on the money with that one. And the story that powerful. Yes, we all need to follow suit with what Adam's done over the years. Dude, How many number of episodes did you? 6,000 in the past.
Over 6,000, and this over year 6, I'll be doing between 1,500 and 2,000 this year. So I don't recommend everybody do that.
No, that's no, not why that's I'm on this that's show. Crazy. But because, and I'm trying to understand, right? So you're interviewing other folks on your shows, multiple shows. I'm sure you have those.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in season 8. We're doing about 100 episodes a season. So
congratulations. That's amazing. Thank you, man. It's a huge accomplishment. Huge.
It is absolutely been, you know, a journey for sure, you know, to get this far. But let's go back to you. You know, was there a particular moment that helped you realize the power of sharing stories at scale? Because as you're listening to these thousands of stories from the people that you're bringing on, what made the shift happen?
Yeah, well, I believe that part was definitely divine. So I definitely like a lot of prayer, and I'll give you the moment when I went full time because it's unique and it was I believe it's divine. So I was I still had both businesses in the beginning. So I still had my firm. I was managing assets, and then I had the media side, which was growing. And so I'm going to bed one day, and I'm just praying to God, and I'm like, God, I need some help here. I don't know. I know you've given me a lot of skills. But you've given me the skills to do one thing well. I know I'm not one of those Elon Musk that can do a bunch of different businesses, or some people have that skill set. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't have it. I can do one thing great. That's it. Like, that's what God blessed me with. And maybe he also blessed me with the knowledge of understanding. I can only do one thing great. So the wisdom to understand that. So thank you, God. But I was literally going to bed. I was going to sleep. I still remember this clear as day. I'm praying, and I say, you know what, God? I'm not, and I said it kind of like, I'll preface this for everybody listening. Me and God, we talk very normal. He's a friend to me. So I said, God, you don't have to part the Red Sea for me anything. I'm a little bit of a smart aleck. I'm like, but you got to tell me something. Like, just tell me, you know, I'm thick here. I got to know, like, which route should I go? Should I stay in this finance business that I've done really well in? Or should I, you know, explore in this media side? Like, is that part of my gift that you've given me and one of my blessings? And so I go to bed, I wake up the next morning, and my feet hit the ground when I wake up, and it's wet, and I'm like, huh? And the first thing I it's just like a flash in my head. I'm like, God, come on, I didn't tell you to part the Red Sea, so really water, like really? And so I think I'm still sleeping, so I go back to bed, because it's too visceral, it's too like real, and I'm like, wow, this is a really real dream. So then I notice my sheets are kind of wet, and I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I'm awake. So then I get up and I you know, I stand up, I turn on the lights. And now what was very unique about this is I had just moved into a new place literally the day or two before.
Yeah.
And I had everything unpacked. And the last thing that I was going to do before I went to bed was hang up all of my degrees, all of my licenses. So I had, you know, Series 7, 6, 63, my everything, insurance license, CFP, you name it, I had it. They were all on the floor before I went to bed. I didn't hang them up. They're all ruined. They're all in water. Wow. They're all ruined. So I look down. That's the first thing I see when I look down, and I turn on the light and I see it, and I'm like, all right, God, this is a little dramatic. Did you have to flood my place? You could have done something else. I said, don't part the Red Sea. So that moment, I take all the degrees, I take all that stuff, and I go to the trash and I throw them all out, and the path is set. And I just know. And I'm not saying it was easy from that point on by any means. I can tell you my support group, everybody around me, they thought I was crazy. Like, go from managing large amounts of money, consistent cash flow, and, you know, for a 14-year career to then say you're going to go, you know, be a podcaster? What? Like, makes no sense. It's not like I had $100 million deal or some Joe Rogan deal. It was like, no, I'm going to figure this out. So to me, I think it was divine. Like, I just had like no, it was just the uncommon ability to withstand the pain of doing that many episodes. I probably was 2,000 episodes in at that point, and I was wired a certain way. The audiences were responding a certain way. And so you combine all these things. We are doing a lot of good, and it felt good to do. Not saying in my finance career I wasn't doing good, but it was just uncommon the type it's of different. Good that we were doing and providing people that platform.
It's a different type of good, right? When you're providing information, when you're providing practical application that people can implement in their lives and see that transformation happen, it's a totally different kind of transformation that happens within us.
Yeah.
Right. And then you saw that happen and you're like, and you're so close to God, which is, I love that, you know, because without him, we're nothing. We're mm-hmm. literally specks in a massive sea, in a massive season. So I'm glad that you brought that up, you know, having that trust and having that belief and then, you know, getting that divine messaging, like, go do this. This is what you're doing. And it also goes to show you didn't just willy-nilly jump into this. You were already 2,000 episodes into it. You already know what it's like. You're running two ships. I'm like, okay, which ship's going to go farther? Which ship's going to go run the ground or run into, probably run into an island or whatever. So,
oh, luckily, yeah, which lots one's going to go, still running into rocks. I got some rocks coming this week, I'm sure. I'm in the media business now. It's rocks every day.
Right, rocks every day. But what's beautiful is that you mm-hmm. made that decision to go down. And having a roster of 2,000 people interviewed also gives you an idea, okay, if they can do it, they've mm-hmm. already done it, I've got good connections that are going to back me up and support me and keep mm-hmm. me going, because that's the number one thing people don't realize: the networks that we are able to build with podcasting, the networks that we're mm-hmm. able to build when you write a book or show up guesting on shows, mm-hmm. which is really powerful.
Yeah, and by the way, to close the loop, Junaid, on the story, so I come back in and it was the water heater. So of course it was real water. This isn't, just so that everybody knows, this isn't a made up story. It's like real water. So I'm like, really, God? Like, and just say, and if there's some haters or disbelievers out there, that's your business. But just so you know, God controls water heaters too. It's cool.
Yeah.
We use many different vehicles for what that's going to be used as.
Yeah, and water is the most abundant thing, right? It is the it is the lubricant of the world. We need water in our bodies for food to travel, for our, you know, cells to rejuvenate, and the entire world needs water. And it's never absorbed. It never stays in one place. It's constantly, constantly moving, right? So, which is so amazing. Now,
love that.
Adam, you know, love the story. Love how you pulled the audience in and you know, shared that beautiful, powerful story. And it's probably awakening some stories for the listeners, right? You probably have dreams of water, or, you know, car flooding, or car surfing in water. Like, there's so many different water-based dreams. I mean, literally, Noah built an ark because a massive flood was coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're moving mountains here. Adam, you've built a massive platform after you made that decision. But what's driving you on a personal level to keep showing up and amplifying other people's voices?
I love that you position it that way, as personal and the mission side of things. I'm using that word, not you, but our platform's name is Mission Matters. So a lot of people tie that, but I just like to let people know that even though the numbers are substantial, I'm regular. I wake up some days and I'm like, I don't want to do an interview, and I got 15 on the calendar.
Yeah.
So what I've done and what I think is useful for other people to know is a couple of things. And number one, when I entered this field and when I knew I was going to go into it full time, I took the same tenacity and the same focus that I took in my financial advisory practice. So what do you have to do as an advisor? You have to get all these licenses. You have to do all these things. Let's say I was 7,000 to 10,000 pages of content and knowledge to get to that point in my career, you know, in 14 years. So the first thing I did was I said, okay, if I'm going to be in the entertainment business and if this is going to be what I do, I need to know everything. So the good thing is all the knowledge is out there. So not claiming that I know everything, but I went back to the beginning. I went to the Johnny Carsons. I even went further back before that. I went to like the vaudeville days. I went to the Bob Hopes. I went to, and I studied the entire industry, and I read, a solid 50 to 75 books on all of the knowledge that was out there. So then as I started developing my models and everything else, I believe that I would have something that was unique to offer. And I'll give people my formula, and I think what's interesting about it is that there's so much. At one point in our life and in this business, you'd keep secrets. And it's because, you know, you wouldn't want people to know why or how something works, because that'd be your edge. Now there's so much audience. There's so much opportunity. I willingly give everything I know because I want other people to succeed. And we all win. We all win the more people that share their stories to lift humanity as a whole. So what I did was, in doing my research going back, I noticed one thing, and that all of the greats had. And so when you think about, like, an Oprah, and I'll say who I think some of the greats are, an Oprah, Johnny Carson, a David Letterman, like a lot of these, the greats in media, whether you like their particular content or not, they are, you know, some of the people that helped build this infrastructure through their, through what they were able to accomplish. So they all had one thing, or even the Larry Kings of the world, like they all had one, you know, thing in common, and they all had over 30,000 interviews in under their belt. Now, some of them had 30, did that in 30 years plus. Some of them did it in, you know, less. And some of them did it in longer, right? It just depends. And so when I looked at that, I said, you know, this is a metric that I can focus on. So I can say, you know, how long in my life could it take me, or would it take me to get to, you know, 30,000 interviews plus? And would it be worth my time? So what, by my calculation, if I look at the time and date that we're in, and if I look at our distribution, I actually believe that those that go out and do that quantity of work over a compressed amount of time have an advantage over some of our of the individuals that did in the past. So when I say this, I hope put a bunch of comments in Junaid's YouTube channel and be like, this guy said what? Yeah, do that, please. Let's get some extra engagement in there. You can go spam my, no, not spam, go go troll my Instagram, whatever you got to do, it's fine. Get some engagement. But the way I see it is, you know, not saying talent aside, I'm just talking numbers here. I'm using the finance side of my brain. Talent aside, so let's say I have no talent. Fine, that's great. But let's just say numbers. I believe I actually have an advantage over someone like a Johnny Carson. And the reason is because of the distribution. So they did. So you can't Google and look at every single interview that a Johnny Carson did for, you know, his 30-year career where he built a lot of the industry. You can't do it. It's locked in a vault. It's put away. It's somewhere else. They got a channel, this, that. But for the nowadays, even the creator that's going to listen to this and maybe get inspired to create their own content, they have an advantage over me, over Johnny, over all these other people, especially if you're younger, because you maybe have a longer amount of career that you can do this, because you're not going to be retired by a network because you own the content. So now when you look at that and look at the compounding media of distribution now, like I have 6,000 episodes in. Give me 10 years, I'll be well over 30,000 episodes in another 10 years. At that point, I will have the largest catalog of any entertainer in the history of entertainment, period. Dang. So what happens now with compounding media? That's only in 10 years.
Right.
That's publicly accessible. Yes, that's the key. That's publicly accessible. Even Howard Stern, I mean, the great, whether you like his content, don't like it, whatever. All that aside, his early years, the off-brand stuff, the weird stuff, whatever. I'm not arguing for or against any of that.
Yeah.
But it's all behind a firewall. It's all behind Sirius or the old radio stations he had or something else. He can't even listen to those original interviews if he wanted to. A lot of it was recorded over. A lot of it was even recorded over in Johnny Carson's days because they were saving money on tape.
Dang. Wow, Adam, this is mind-blowing because as a content creator, it's a even more important role now ever than before to create real content, to create the original content. And I know we're really short on time, and we're going to be bringing Adam back for a part two and go even deeper on this. I've got some quick rapid-fire questions for you, Adam. You ready?
Let's get them.
All right. Number one, one hobby you wish you got into?
Podcasting.
Yes.
I wish I would have started podcasting when I was, man, are you kidding me?
When it came out, right? I never
would have worked for a single person in my life. I have a kid that I'm mentoring right now that he's on his first 100 episodes. He's 12 years old. And
amazing.
I look at it and I'm like, you know what? And he's interviewing all his dad's buddies. So like, you already know where that's going. I'll zip it there. Podcasting, bar none.
I love it. Next up, favorite entrepreneurial book besides your own?
E-Myth. I mean, that I wish I've read a long time ago. I feel like it could have saved me a couple million bucks.
Perfect. And the last one, favorite person dead or alive to interview? Keep
dreaming. I would really like to interview either Big Sean or Lil Wayne. Those are my two.
I love it. Well, Adam, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. We'll be bringing you on for part two. And in part two, Adam's going to break down tactical strategies that you can apply right now to grow your brand, track your authority, and monetize your content like a pro. Trust me, you won't want to miss, especially with what Adam's dropped in this episode. Adam, thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate you, Junaid. Keep up all that you do. And for everybody listening, don't forget, you better hit that subscribe button. Get that Junaid some of those subscribers. Get that done.
Awesome, Adam. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.